Tammy Flanagan of the National Institute of Transition Planning, writing in Government Executive about becoming a TSP wizard. Now, we're not talking about somebody ignoring the man behind the curtain, right? This is the real thing. This is the genuine article, isn't it, Tammy?
Yeah, that's right. Every time I say use the wizard, everybody looks at me like, what do you mean, wizard? But we're talking about a service that the TSP offers online to make it so much easier to fill out withdrawal applications, whether you're borrowing from the thrift or whether you're taking a withdrawal after you separate. And it's just going to save you time, and it's going to make things go a whole lot smoother.
The TSP has really, I think, done a terrific job of putting as much effort as they possibly can into understanding how to make their customers' lives easier. They have these kinds of things. You write about the YouTube channel with some of the video clips. They're very well produced and very well done. Is this a new initiative? I mean, not brand new, obviously, because they've been working toward this for a long time. But it strikes me that when they probably weren't like this when the TSP first started in the 80s.
Yeah, that's right, Francis. And I think what really promoted, you know, getting things done a little bit smoother is whenever the TSP started to offer the Roth option, because now every form has to address your traditional balance and your Roth TSP balance. So when you're filling out these applications, you have to make decisions about both of those, plus all five funds, plus, you know, different choices among the withdrawal options. So there's just a lot of little details to fill out. So when you do it through the wizard, it's almost like filling out your tax return online, where you go to fill out one box, and it's going to jump to the next box that applies to you, and it's going to skip all the ones that are irrelevant. Plus, it's going to give you the most up-to-date version of the form, so you don't make the mistake of turning in an obsolete form and having to fill it out all over again.
You point out, you write about the YouTube channel, as I mentioned, but you also point out there are a variety of independently produced YouTube videos on the subject of the TSP. Some are very good, but others may have been produced by well-meaning but self-serving salespeople whose goal is to get you to withdraw your TSP balance, to buy an annuity from them, or to move your money out of the low-cost TSP and into a high-cost and possibly high-commission product. I didn't know that. It's not shocking to me, because the whole world of financial instruments is one that's hard for a lot of people to understand. And in many cases, they probably don't even know the questions that they should ask about fees and stuff like that. Right, Tammy?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not saying, because there are good financial advisors out
yes.
there. And you know, a lot of us need help with our finances. We're just not equipped, just like I'm not equipped to paint my bedroom without someone helping me do it. So we need help doing things like that. So that's not to say you shouldn't seek help. But just be cautious and ask the right questions, whether, you know, how this person's going to get compensated for one thing, and what are the expenses you're going to have to pay, whether it's just for the meeting or whether you have expenses to manage your money. You know, be wary of someone who's trying to just sell you something to do with your TSP without asking about your entire financial situation, because you really have to look at someone's whole finances rather than just that one piece of it. That would be a sure sign that somebody was trying to sell you something if that's the only concern that they had about your finances.
Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning, and her latest column from GovExec is linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth right now. What are some of the things that people come to you and ask you, either in the webinars or in the places that you go in person, questions that people are asking you about their thrift savings plan accounts, Tammy?
Well, the big thing now is, because it's been around for so many years, that we have people who are retiring from federal service and counting on their TSP to do different things for them during their retirement, whether it's providing monthly income or paying off some of their debt so that they can retire. So withdrawal choices are, to me, the most popular comment and question that I get at seminars these days. And I think the TSP is starting to realize as well that, you know, we've done such a good job of getting federal employees to save and making it easy for them to participate and making things clear and educating them on getting the money in. Now we got to start thinking about education and making it easy to get the money out. So I think that's where we're turning our attention now, is to the decumulation stage rather than the accumulation stage.
The trick about the TSP that I think a lot of people have a hard time understanding. And maybe it's because our parents always told us if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You cite in your column a mention about somebody asking why they should stay in the TSP when they can get into an exchange traded fund that has really, really, really low costs. I will say this as clearly as I possibly can, Tammy, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. There is no such thing anywhere on earth as an investment vehicle with lower fees than the thrift savings plan. It doesn't exist. No can do. Am I wrong?
Well, I haven't found it. And even things, there are things out there like the EFTs and even mutual funds run where you do it self-service. They are cheap to run compared to other managed accounts. But yet the TSP has the advantage of the volume. I mean, there's almost 4.7 million participants sharing in those administrative expenses. And those expenses are relatively low because of the way the TSP operates. So that's how they keep them to a bare minimum. Nobody's making a commission off of, you know, you having your TSP account set up. There's no management fees to that nature. So, yeah, if you're looking for a low-cost savings, that's definitely where it is. But there are advantages. I'm not to say that everyone should leave their money in the TSP for the rest of their life, because there are some advantages to moving it out. And if you wanted more control of how you withdraw the funds for as you need them, or whether you want more diversification in your investments, you may find that outside of the TSP. So I think there's always a plus and a minus to every decision we make. So it's really important just to evaluate those and say, okay, here's the benefits of me leaving that money in the thrift and what the thrift plan has to offer me in the form of low expenses, simplicity, efficiency, and that type of thing. But then here's also the reasons why I might consider moving it out if that meets my needs. And then you can do both. You can do a little bit of both.
But let's consider for a moment what the difference in some fees makes as far as how much you save and how much you have to gain every year to make up for it. You write in your column that's linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. In 2013, the TSP's net expense ratio was 0.029%. That means expenses charged to each TSP account were about 29 cents per $1,000 of investment. By comparison, according to a Wall Street Journal personal finance guide, and it's linked through your piece so people can read it for themselves, the average ETF has an expense ratio of 0.44%, meaning it'll charge $4.40 in fees for every $1,000 invested. And the average traditional index fund costs 0.74%, so that's $7.40 in fees for every $1,000 invested instead of 29 cents in the TSP. And I will tell you from personal experience, Tammy, we just consolidated my wife's 403b plan into a Fidelity account that Montgomery County Public Schools offers. We moved it from an actively managed portfolio with another provider who I won't name that we discovered was charging 3.5% annually in fees, which means that if she wanted to realize 8% in net gains every year, which is what we're shooting for in our personal portfolio, we'd actually have to realize 11% in gains.
Almost 12%.
Yes, yeah, just to be able to pay the fees. So converting it using the numbers that you have in your column, we were paying on her account, let me make sure I've got this right, about $35 per thousand invested in fees every year. And, you know, when you have a fair amount of money in a portfolio, that really starts to add up. And I certainly would rather have a couple $100 a year in my portfolio and in my wife's portfolio than in that guy's pocket. Not that he's not a nice guy. He's a great guy, but he's just not for us, you know?
Yeah. Well, just to give you a feel for this, let's say you had $500,000, which is larger than the average account by far. But just to use that big number, so if you had $500,000 in your TSP paying 29 cents per thousand, that's $145 a year in expenses, which is next to nothing. And if you had that same $500,000 in an EFT charging 44 cents per thousand, or $4.40 per thousand, that's $2,200. So that's over a $2,000 savings per year. Not pocket change. That's a significant amount. So for someone who likes the simplicity of the thrift, and there are some decent withdrawal options with some flexibility to them, that definitely should be on one of your short lists of what to do with the money after you retire.
pretty amazing stuff, Tammy. What are the common concerns or questions or maybe mistakes that you hear people making other than the classic leaving too much money in the G fund?
Well, the other thing is a lot of people want to pay off all their bills when they retire, and even so far as to pay off their mortgage. So sometimes they want to take out, let's say they have a balance of $100,000 on their mortgage, so they're going to pull $100,000 out of the TSP to do that. Well, first of all, they're going to pull out way more than $100,000 because now they've pushed themselves up into a higher marginal tax bracket, and they got to pay federal and state level taxes on that money. And in some cases, they're not over 55 when they separate, and so then they got to pay a 10% penalty on the money. So they really got to be aware of the taxes and do some real serious tax planning before you start to use that money in your thrift to be sure that you're not paying more than you need to in taxes.